Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Call your attention this morning to verse 13 of this chapter. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Let's read the entire chapter for our Bible reading this morning, Proverbs 18. Through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The lot causeth contentions to cease, and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So far we read Scripture. I'll read the text again, verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God that we consider this morning on the occasion of the installation of office bearers does not speak specifically to the work of elders and deacons. There is nothing in Proverbs chapter 18 that is directed explicitly to office bearers in the church. The Word of God in Proverbs chapter 18, and particularly the verse that we are considering, addresses the believer. It addresses all Christians as to what it means to be wise over against being kept from the ways of foolishness. And so certainly my hope and prayer this morning is that the Word of God, as it is preached from this text, will speak to all of us as Christians, and that the main word would be something that we would all take to heart and that we would all seek to apply to our everyday life as we live together in the Church of Jesus Christ. With that being said, our focus this morning is on office bearers. Because while it is the case that the truth of Proverbs 18, verse 13 applies to all of us as Christians, this wisdom principle of this text is especially important for the work of elders and deacons, and myself as a pastor in the Church of Christ. For them especially, it is important not to answer a matter before they hear it. There is a right way, there is a wise way, there is a Christ-honoring way for office bearers to answer matters. And there is a wrong way, there is a foolish way, there is a Christ-dishonoring way to do it as well. And the hope and prayer of this passage is that it would not only apply to the entire congregation, but that especially office bearers would be guided in being kept from the way of foolishness and shame by not, in the work that they do, answering matters before they hear them. That's the word that I call your attention to this morning. We do so under the theme, the foolishness of answering before hearing. Let's notice in the first place the foundational truths, and then in the second place the specific meaning. So we're going to look in the first place broadly and generally at some important foundational ideas that stand underneath this text. And then in the second point, we'll narrow our focus specifically to what the words of the text mean and how we apply them. So let's start this morning broad and point out especially three things: wisdom, love, and pride. Those are going to be the three main ideas to develop the first part of the sermon. And we start with wisdom, placing this text in its broadest context, which is the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs teaches us about wisdom. Go right to the beginning of the book, and this is what we read in the opening words of the book. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. So every individual verse is laying before us the wisdom of God. This verse is about wisdom. And so let's think about that a little bit more deeply and point out in the first place that when it comes to wisdom, all wisdom is of God. Before we go into any specific, we get that very clear in our mind that this text is talking about wisdom, and all wisdom is of God. So many are the passages that speak of that. One that comes to mind is Jude at the end when it says, "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." And knowing that all wisdom is of God means that He is the source of the gift and blessing of wisdom to us as Christians. And we're familiar with, for example, James chapter 1. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." In order to carry out the word of our text, we need the wisdom of God. And so right at the beginning of the sermon, we're reminded of what is so important for all of us as believers, and especially for office bearers, that very consciously We would lay ourselves before the Lord and seek His help. That very consciously we would acknowledge our lack of wisdom and seek the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ to do the work. That very consciously, with regard to this truth, not to answer a matter before we hear it, we would seek God's help in order to carry that out. Wisdom is of God, and wisdom is to God. Now, thinking about what wisdom is, and what wisdom is right understanding applied to our life, and applied to our life to the end that it is aimed at the glory of God. So wisdom is of God, it comes from God, and the wisdom that we have from God is always aimed at the glory of God. And so what the book of Proverbs does, and all of these individual Proverbs that we read, is it takes what applies to our everyday life and makes sure that we orient it in relationship to God. And we cannot be reminded of that enough as Christians, and especially in the work that we do as office bearers. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to think in terms of wisdom, and wisdom puts us in our thoughts in relationship to God. I stand before God. I honor God. I am called to take everything that I face in the mundane, practical realities of life and think about it, respond to it, and go forward in light of it as that which aims at God's glory. That's what it's all about. And so, when we're talking about this text, immediately we recognize this is not just about efficiency. This is not just about how to get from A to Z and close a matter that we may have to deal with. This is about God. This is about honoring Him. This is about our life before Him as believers and as office bearers, exactly because it is a matter of wisdom. If we're not thinking in terms of wisdom, we're not thinking in terms of God, and all of these individual proverbs aren't looked at in the proper perspective, then they're just things that are helpful for everyday life, nuggets that can be instructive. But we need to bring it back right to the essence of what it's about, which is the vertical dimension of living before Jehovah God. Wisdom is of God, it is aimed to God's glory, and it's centered in directly the Lord Jesus Christ. This passage has everything to say about Jesus. From so many different levels, all wisdom is found and rooted in Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God. In Christ, everything is aimed to the glory of God. But also this, when you read our passage this morning, one of the things that it does very explicitly is say, you're living in a fallen world. Why do we need this word? We need this word because we're living in a fallen world of sinners, where there are matters that need to be answered. And we're living in this world as fallen sinners who have the tendency and the nature that says, I'm going to give the answer without hearing it. And so we thank God this morning that this truth is in the Scriptures, because this truth speaks to the reality of the world we live in and the reality of our own sinful natures, which doesn't leave us hanging right there, but leads us directly to say we need the Lord Jesus, who is the wisdom of God. And we need the forgiveness of our sins in this regard, the blood of Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary. And we need, four, the strength and understanding to go forth in light of this proverb to the glory of God, the Spirit of Jesus and the wisdom of Jesus as it is worked in us. And that's what the preaching of God's word hopefully does to those who are present this morning, and does, I shouldn't say hopefully because there's always power in the word of God, does do in the hearts and lives of God's people. It leads us to see our need for Jesus, and it leads us to see the power and the strength, as all wisdom is found in Jesus, to walk in a way that is wise and to the glory of God's name. Wisdom that is of God to the glory of God, as it is centered and found in the wisdom of God, who is Jesus Christ. I said number one, wisdom. Number two, love. Love. Let's think about our passage in terms of what it means to love our neighbor. The passage is especially identifying what is true of one who does this. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. So that's the focus. It's folly and shame to him to do this. But understand that partly the reason it is folly and shame is that it is a failure to love the neighbor. The text is talking, and we need to think about it in these terms, about the matters having to do with relationships, the matters having to do with people. That's the context. Later in the chapter, it talks about one who gives his case, and then he's found out later by his brother that comes after him. This is not ivory tower by yourself stuff. This is the stuff of the church. This is the stuff of people living together. This is the stuff of issues as they arise among people. So that to do this, answer a matter before you hear it, is folly and shame to the man who does this, in part because it is a failure to love and to show love for the neighbor. This is not, I believe, hard to understand. What does it do to the person about whom the matter concerns when you give an answer before you hear them, before you understand? Not to use the example of office bearers, but let's put it in a different context that applies to many who are here, the context of parents with children. It's a tendency and a temptation for parents to give an answer without hearing, to presume automatically to know this is the answer to the situation as it arises in the life of my child or my teenager. Oftentimes we do know. Oftentimes we do have the quick answer. But that's not always the case. And it does not show love to our children or to our teenagers if we're not willing to listen. To listen. To hear. To understand what is in your heart. What is the struggle that you're going through? What is the matter that you need counsel concerning? Instead of coming in and saying, I'm not here to talk to you. I'm here just to tell you. What does that do? It does something to the child or the teenager. And what it does is it hurts. And it doesn't show love. We're dealing here with what it means to love, which is why it is directly related to wisdom, that which aims to the glory of God, with the strength of Jesus Christ as it's worked in us, is what is in love for the neighbor as we live with them. The third thing, foundationally, is pride. The passage talks about it being folly and shame to answer a matter before you hear it. And by saying that, it is revealing to us what is the sinful, proud nature of our hearts. It is pride to do what the text says. It's one of the reasons that it's folly and shame to answer a matter before you hear it. It's arrogance to say quickly, this is the answer to the issue, without seeking to hear it and to understand it. And again, this is something that we all recognize to be true. We see it in others, and I pray that the Word of God leads us to say when it's present, I see it in myself. But to use an example that we're familiar with the instances of a man comes into the room, and he's the man that when he comes into the room, he has the answer to everything. It doesn't matter what the subject is, he has the answer. He knows it. And he makes sure everybody else knows it. He never asks questions. He never learns from somebody else in the room. He comes and he says, this is the way that it is. And you all walk out of that room, and the thought about such a person is, that's arrogance. It's pride. Whereas the wisdom of God is to aim all to the glory of God, the pride of man is to put yourself above others. And that's why, in part, it is folly and shame to answer a matter before you hear it. We may see it in others, but the Word of God says, do you see it in yourself? Do I see it in myself? And when I see it in myself, am I led to humble myself before God, seek remission in the blood of Jesus, and seek the strength of Jesus to fight against that, and not to be foolish in pride by answering a matter before you hear it? Wisdom, love, and pride. Let's look at the specific meaning now. The specific meaning of the text, it says, I'll read it again, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it. So there's two things there. There's answering a matter, and there's hearing a matter. And so let's look at the second of those first, hearing a matter. And the important point in this regard is that what the text is talking about is not just hearing it with our ears, but the idea of hearing it is to listen attentively, listen carefully, and do so in order to gain a proper understanding. To hear a matter is to seek to understand a matter, so that with that understanding, an answer can be given. One of the things that a passage like this does is it calls to our attention the importance of being good listeners. Are we willing and are we convicted to strive to be good, better, God-glorifying, neighbor-loving listeners? Listeners, so that with that listening, we understand a matter better. Think about this in terms of the work of office bearers. Everything office bearers do comes down to giving an answer to a matter. And I believe we can take that as broad as possible, giving answer to a matter, saying something about this that we are confronting. And all of it requires, if it is done to the glory of God's name, careful, intentional listening to understand. Go through the examples of the work of office bearers. The nature of council and consistory meetings is that council and consistory meetings are deliberative assemblies, which means that we go to those meetings in order to discuss and debate. And don't put a negative thought in your mind when you hear debate. Debate. Healthy discussion about the matter at hand. And because they are deliberative assemblies in which there is discussion, yes, one goes to that meeting with convictions and with opinions, but also goes to that meeting saying, I need to hear what others say, as that may inform my thought about a particular matter. For council and consistory meetings to function the way that we believe they must function, it requires hearing, listening, seeking to understand from others in that room. Think about the work that takes place in between those meetings. And this is where hours and hours of time is spent for elders and deacons. And that is the committee work, where two or three men get together in order to do work, to write reports, to formulate recommendations. So now we're not in a body in our context of 10 to 20, but we're in a group of 2 to 3. And again, in order to bring good recommendations and write reports requires that in that smaller context, there is a willingness to listen, to hear. Not to walk in and say, this is the way it's going to be, but to say, I want to hear the thoughts of all so that together we inform our opinion. Think about the work of deacons. The primary work of deacons, as we read it in the form, is to distribute the mercies of Jesus Christ. In order for them to do that well, they need to hear and listen to give the answer to the matter. Providing help requires good listening. What is the actual need? And not just so that they can properly see to it that the funds are given where it is needed, but a listening and a careful thought about it so that you know as deacons, okay, what led to this? Or not just that, but what impact is this having upon you in your life? So that with the physical mercies of Christ, there is the ability with some specificity to say, here is the mercy of the gospel that speaks to your need as well in your heart and in your mind and in your soul. Continuing, think about the work that elders do in providing counsel and providing pastoral help. It requires listening. If I'm going to bring the Word of God to a particular need, I have to understand the matter. I can't presume this is what you need. I need to hear. This is the struggle. This is the conflict. This is the issue in order for an answer to be given. One more example, the work of elders and their calling to oversee the preaching and the teaching of the pastor. They need to answer that matter. They do it every single Sunday when they sit in the house of God listening to preaching. They do it when they meet 4 times a year without me in order to discuss that which is being heard from the pulpit. They do that in their work as called by God to oversee the ministry of the Word. In order to do that well, they need to listen. They need to know. They need to seek to know. What are the words being said? What is the truth being conveyed? How is it being received by the congregation and those who hear it? All of it requires careful understanding of the matter. Part of the purpose of the book of Proverbs is to be practical. Practical, aimed through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. And so we need to think about being better listeners to understand matters. A few things in that regard, very practically. Number one, Let us be intentional about this. Intentional by being prayerful. Intentional as we go into situations saying to ourselves and praying to God, I don't want to be foolish and shameful. I want to understand and listen. It requires intentionality. And preaching on this hopefully helps all of us with this, and especially the office bearers. Number two, we need to be comfortable sometimes with silence. Silence can make people uncomfortable. And the problem with that is that it can hinder from listening and understanding. When there's not a comfort with silence, what takes place sometimes is that when you are talking with somebody, when you are seeking to help somebody, you are listening. You're listening, but you're always listening because the predominant thought is, what am I going to say next? How am I going to respond to that? The focus is sometimes more on self, because we're afraid of silence, than truly seeking to hear and to understand, so that the thought isn't immediately, what am I going to say? How am I going to respond? I have to have something. But it's, I want to understand. And I'll think about how I'll respond later. In fact, I'm going to be okay with there being silence, but I want to listen. I don't want to miss it. I want to understand better. The default can be to want to talk. And understand that that need to talk is sometimes arrogant pride. Other times, it can be nervous anxiety. With an uncomfortableness with silence, the desire to talk is just what comes out. And I've experienced this many, 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 many times in my life as a minister and dealing with people and seeking to provide help, where it's just talking because you're nervous, and that's the default thing. And one of the things it can lead to is not to hear and listen. So be intentional. Be comfortable with silence. Be willing also, in the third place, to say, I don't know. I don't know. As office bearers in the church, it is okay for us, it is good for us at times, in humility, to tell God's people, I don't know the answer to that matter. Not necessarily every time. There are times when you know, and you know what God's word says to that, and you have the answer, and you're able to provide the counsel right there in the moment, informally, or may we know quickly sometimes in the council and consistory rooms, but that's not always the case. And there needs to be a humble willingness on the part of office bearers, and this is true for all of us, to tell each other, I don't know. I don't know. But prayerfully and carefully, I'm going to seek to understand better and to be able to provide an answer. Beloved, this is what happens every week, in a certain sense, with the preaching of God's word that I have to do. A primary example in my mind right now is the very next passage that we're up to in the book of Mark. It's a passage that I've always wondered what is the meaning of that and struggled to understand what the meaning of that is, and have been working on it for a couple weeks now, on and off, trying to wrap my mind around it. But when I look at the text at times as a preacher in the beginning, I say to myself, I have no idea what this means, or I don't have an idea of how to write a sermon on it yet. It's just not there. But then through prayer and study and thought, the Lord guides, and pray that it's faithful so that on the Lord's day there's an edifying, I pray, word to be brought. This is how it works. And as believers, And as office bearers, we need to be humble to say, I don't know, but I'm going to seek to know through prayer and through God's word and through talking in order to give a good answer to the matter. And then in the fourth place, very practically, to ask questions. To ask questions. And to be able to seek the answer to those questions from others. I didn't mention a specific example of family visitation earlier. The purpose of family visitation is not for elders to bring their portable lecterns to set them up in a living room and say, now listen to me. I'm going to lecture you on a passage or an idea. But it's there to ask questions. It's there to answer a matter. The matter is the spiritual well-being of the family. Ask questions. Be comfortable with silence. Listen attentively in order to understand better. One part of the text is, as we've been explaining, hearing it. The other part is answering it. And so the point of the proverb is to say, it's foolishness to answer before you hear. It's foolishness because it shows pride. It's foolishness because it does not show love for the neighbor. And it's foolishness because it doesn't lead to the God-glorifying, wise, biblically-based, Christ-honoring answer. Everything we said about listening does not mean that we do not give an answer. The point of the passage is not to say, don't provide an answer to the matter. I use the example of parents with children and teenagers. And the point, of course, is that parents need to give an answer. And office bearers are called by God to give answers. This is part of what it means to be in a position of God-given leadership and authority in the church. To give answers to a whole swath of matters. Everything we went through earlier is part of the work of office bearers. To answer the matter of the spiritual well-being of the families in family visitation. To answer the matter of providing help for deacons. To answer the matter of all of the decisions that need to be made in meetings. To answer the matter of a committee's work to bring recommendations to the full body, to answer the matter of the conflict in the marriage, to answer the matter of the comfort to the bereaved, to answer the matter of the struggling saint. All of it, it needs to be done. And so the point of emphasizing the listening is not to say we're not to give answers, but just the opposite. The point is to say, give the biblically centered, gospel-oriented, Christ-honoring, faithful answer to the matter. That's the point. In order to be kept from the folly and shame of failing to do so. That's the goal. That's the goal in all of our life as Christians as we live together. That's the goal of parents with their children. That's the goal of office bearers and all of the work that they do. It is to give the answer that speaks to the matter. And the answer is the Christ-centered, God-glorifying, wise answer. And we seek to do that by understanding the matter well. And we do well to always think about the answer to every matter in light of the book of Proverbs, in light of what wisdom is, in light of in whom all wisdom is found. How does this answer lead us to Christ and through Christ to the glory of God's name? That's the answer that seeks to praise and to honor our God. The man who carries out this word is the man and the member who carries out this word is the member of the church who lives with a disposition of listening and learning. A disposition, a character, a way of being, who they are, always characterized by listening and learning. Because the member and the office bearer who carries out this word before he ever thinks about another person, before he thinks about his life in the church, before he thinks about the agenda of a council and consistory meeting, before anything having to do with other people and issues and matters, is a man who every single day knows he stands before God, every single day knows he's a sinner, every single day knows that in that sin and weakness, he is dependent upon God. And every single day, before he thinks about any other person and any other matter, is saying to God, God, teach me. God, show me. God, I want to hear you. God, I need to hear you. I need to hear the heart of your word to me every day, which is the wonder of the gospel in Jesus. And I need to hear you as it speaks to my life as a Christian in this world. The disposition, the character of the child of God in whom the Spirit of Jesus is, who knows their sin and creatureliness, lives in the humility of saying, teach me. Teach me, O God, the way that I should go. And then flowing out of that, the humble life of the Christian who knows Jesus Christ as Savior to him as a sinner, lives with others, understands the God position, God-given position of leadership and authority, understands called by God to answer matters, but understands that always in light of who he is as a sinner and creature saved by grace, and therefore ready and willing always to seek to listen, to seek to understand, in order with that understanding to give the answer to the matter in such a way that does not bring shame and folly, but in such a way that honors God, exalts Jesus Christ, and shows love for the neighbor with whom we live. May God give all of us, and may God give especially office bearers, the grace necessary to carry out this word in this text. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray for the wisdom of Jesus Christ so that we are kept from the ways of shame and folly. Help us to answer matters, having heard them and understood them. Father, forgive our sins. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.